From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
I'm Melissa Block, and we end this hour with a trip to the movies, courtesy of our co-host, Audie Cornish.
The new movie, The Grey, stars Liam Neeson as the leader of a group of roughnecks who find themselves stranded in the Alaskan wilderness, hunted by a pack of vicious wolves. Now, if you own a television, you've no doubt been subjected to the trailer. It's been on near constant rotation.
How are we going to deal with this?
We take them on, one at a time.
And if that trailer's to be believed, this is familiar territory. Monsters chase men, men die, and occasionally things blow up. Except, having seen this movie, I can say it's no more about wolves than Jaws is about a shark. It's about how we live our lives, the choices we make, and the mistakes and regret that can stalk us all. Go figure. Joining me now is the man behind this little sleight of hand, the movie's director and co-writer, Joe Carnahan. Joe Carnahan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Audie. Thank you for having me.
It starts out this kind of survivalist thriller, only the men are exhibit qualities that you don't see in this kind of film. Number
right.
one, they're scared.
Yes.
They're tired. They're afraid to die. And that is the kind of thing which seems pretty obvious given the situation, but is so not usually what you see in a movie like this.
Right. I think, well, part of the film, I think, too, is my reaction to a lot of things. I think the things I thought about when I was 20, I think about differently at 40. You know, you have a different kind of set of ideals and personal philosophies that begin to emerge. And, you know, I thought it was important to get at these things in an honest manner, in a truthful way, because I think so much of Hollywood is this kind of overly machismo, nonsensical view of masculinity, which I just don't find honest. You know, I think it's a lot of nonsense. I think it's this idea of, you know, we're told, well, be a man, but what does that mean exactly? Does that mean you can't carry yourself with any fear, that you can't acknowledge that you're scared, that you can't acknowledge that I'm not sure what's waiting for me beyond this realm? You know, I think these are all things that played upon me, and I wanted that to play upon these characters.
At one point, there is a scene around a campfire where the men do delve into those questions about life after death.
I really wish I could believe in that stuff. This is real. The cold. That's real. The air in my lungs. Those bastards out there in the dark, stuck on us. It's this world that I'm worried about, Talcott. Not the next.
What about your faith?
What about it?
It's important.
That was Liam Neeson playing John Otway, and I think, was that Dermot Mulroney?
Mulroney playing Talcott, yeah.
Talk about that scene.
You've got a guy that is a pragmatist and feels only what is in the immediate vicinity, you know, the cold and the air in his lungs. And then you have a guy telling him you can't abandon your faith because what's going to pull you through in a really rough spot but that. And I think that's a contradiction we all carry within ourselves, you know, this idea of, is there a God? And if so, is he going to take care of me? You know, we hear, well, the Lord works in mysterious ways. Well, these guys, some of them, they don't want it to be mysterious. They want to know what's going to happen, and they want his help. They want the, you know, this idea of a deity that could grant them, can you save me? Will I survive? And then beyond that, the larger questions about, well, what's going to happen to me when I die?
And in this, you get a sense of grief. You get a sense of the characters ask themselves, what are the memories
right.
we would treasure in our final moments?
Sure.
And for these characters, I mean, a huge totem of it are the men's wallets.
Yes.
And who knew that a man's wallet could symbolize him and his life? You know,
well,
I thought
think,
it was
again,
a pretty touching thing.
Yeah, I think it's in the end, it's the minutiae. And it's interesting because a guy I worked with, a very dear friend of mine, we had a mutual friend, and a very young guy, he was 24 at the time, and he passed away rather suddenly and rather dramatically. He happened to be, had too much to drink one night and walked out of this house, and instead of going left, he went right, and that was the end of it. You know, he wound up being killed by a passing car. And my friend remembers going to his home, going to his apartment after that, and seeing this, there was still a Led Zeppelin LP on his turntable, and still the signs of life, and still these little notes he had written to himself. And I always thought it was so heartbreaking to me, you know, that would be, that's the measure in the end. And that's why I kind of insisted on all those pictures that you see at the end of the film. Those are all of the actors and their real families, you know.
So they gave you their own home
yes,
photos.
Yes, they gave me their own photos. And I think that's why it has this great emotional impact, because it's real.
The character of John Otway, he is grieving the loss of his wife. And how do you ask an actor like Liam Neeson, who just a few years ago lost his own wife, to play a character like this?
You know what, Audie, we never had the conversation per se. I mean, we touched on that, and Liam was very forthcoming with the other actors and myself about he looked at this as a catharsis. I don't know how, in the approach that I took and that he knew I wanted to take, that this was a subject that could even be avoided. I mean, I think it was inescapable at a certain point that he was going to touch on what had happened to Natasha.
And this is Natasha Richardson.
Natasha Richardson, yeah. Whom he lost, yeah, rather tragically. But again, Liam was always very open and sincere, and he was able to liberate from his own personal life what he needed to make Otway's situation work, and what those things were are exclusively kind of the province of Liam.
And at the same time, there are some moments that are really, really very haunting. And I don't know if it's because it's him as the actor.
Right.
I don't know if I could picture another actor doing it. One scene in particular where Otway is sort of having this tough conversation with God.
Show me something real. I need it now. Not later. Now. Show me, and I'll believe in you till the day I die. I swear. I'm calling on you.
It's funny to hear it in the disembodied way. It actually emotionally kind of gets to me because you just hear that great desperation and sadness. And when you have an actor like Liam Neeson, you have to take advantage of his talent and his ability to bring that off and make you believe it and give you that great sense of dread and desperation.
Did this feel like a very different experience for you in terms of making the movie? Because I look at what you've done in the past, you know, a movie like Smoke and Aces, I definitely
right.
saw that. There was the kind of reimagining of the A-Team.
Yes.
Those seem so different from this.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, it's important for me, at least, I guess, artistically to not. And I think part of maybe the gray was a bit of a response to that. I started getting concerned that I was being viewed or quantified in this way that I was uncomfortable with. And
what were you uncomfortable with? Like, what's the characterization of you out there?
I was comfortable being perceived as this, are you kind of this schmucky action director that doesn't really have anything meaningful to say? And, you know, I guess for lack of a better word, are you going to be taken seriously or not? So yeah, I just thought it was high time I made this film.
Joe, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Audie. That was lovely. I really appreciate it.
Joe Carnahan, he's the director of the new film, The Gray, starring Liam Neeson. And I'm Audie Cornish.
That was our colleague Audie Cornish, and this is All Things Considered from NPR News.